I wanted to just share a little thought with you this morning that was quickened to me as we were at the convention. There were many messages by the different pastors in our fellowship just sharing, you know, encouragement and, you know, just little words of direction and so forth. But there was one point in one person's message that jumped out to me. I don't know if it did to anyone else, but it kind of stuck with me. And it was this thought. It was that we all are seeking to walk on the pathway that God has for each of us, you know, the pathway of righteousness. But the thought that was quickened to me is what follows us on our pathway. What follows us on our pathway? Now, that doesn't make sense yet, but let me explain it. I want to look at this from the idea of Israel when the Lord commanded them to separate into six tribes on one mountain and six tribes on another mountain. And those mountains were Mount Gerizim and Mount Ebal. And let's just look what it says about that. And it's in Deuteronomy chapter 28. Deuteronomy chapter 28. And we realize that these mountains, the Lord separated the tribes. And on one mountain, they were to pronounce the blessings that would come upon those who walk in the way of the Lord. And then on the other mountain, Mount Ebal, Mount Gerizim was the mountain of blessing, Mount Ebal, right? The other tribes were to pronounce the curses that would come upon those who don't walk in the ways of the Lord or who forsake the ways of the Lord. And let's just look at those. In Deuteronomy chapter 28, in verses 1 through 2, we see the blessing of those tribes standing on Mount Gerizim. And it says, "And it shall come to pass, if you hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord thy God, and observe to do all his commandments, which I have commanded thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations, and all these blessings," and here's the important part, "all these blessings that were spoken," it says, "they will come on thee, and they will overtake thee, if you hearken unto the voice of thy God." And there's an important thought about the blessings of God, is that if you listen diligently and you obey the voice of the Lord, it says they'll overtake you. They catch up with you, right? Sometimes we think of the blessing of God as something on the pathway, way down the way, and we're reaching out for it, and we're just running until we get that blessing. But here's an interesting thought. It says the blessing follows us and overtakes us as we walk on the pathway. Let's consider the next group in verse 15. You know, they were to talk about the curses that would come upon those who forsake the way of the Lord. And it says, and it'll come, verse 15 of Deuteronomy 28 says, "It'll come to pass, if you will not hearken unto the voice of the Lord to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, as I command thee this day, that these curses shall come upon you and overtake you." And so it's the same on the wrong pathway, is that, you know, and we can understand this concept of people walk on the wrong pathway and things catch up to them. Now, this is an important concept because, you know, I'm sure at times the Lord's spoken to us not to do something, or we felt we shouldn't do something, and you've been tempted just kind of like, well, let me stick my toe in the water there and see what happens, right? And someone sticks their toe in that pathway and lightning doesn't strike them, right? And so they say, oh, well, hey, it's not that bad. You know, I was feeling conviction or guilty about that, but nothing bad happened. So they keep going a little bit farther and a little bit farther. And pretty soon they're way down the road and they say, well, nothing's bad has happened to me yet, until it catches up to them, until the consequences of walking contrary to the Lord's leading for their lives or according to his word, they catch up, don't they? And maybe you've seen that in people who've made unwise decisions. They catch up. Consequences catch up. But, you know, it's the same on the pathway of righteousness. When we follow the Lord, when we're diligent, how many of us know that when we're diligent to do the ways of the Lord, it's not instant blessing, right? God's quickened something to our hearts that we need to be obedient in a certain area, or we see the word of God and we can't do what other people can do. you know, in the world, and they say, why can't you do that? Well, the Bible says I can't, so I'm not going to do it. And, you know, we do those things, and we don't feel like this immediate blessing pouring over our lives. We wish we did, but you know, as we walk in that way, as we're faithful to do what's right in God's sight, it says the blessings will catch up to us. The blessings will overtake us. They'll overwhelm us, you know, because we've walked in the way of the Lord. And I think that is a concept that I want to get so deep into my heart, because as human beings, we say the proof is in the pudding, right? We want to see proof. Lord, I'm doing what's right. Where's the blessing that comes from that? And we're tempted to say, well, I don't have the blessing. I'm not feeling, you know, the blessing of God from doing this. And so, well, maybe I should just give up. But the Bible says the blessing catches up with us as we continue. And so we must continue. We must keep seeking the Lord and keep practicing, you know, coming into His presence and hearing His voice and doing what He tells us to do, how He leads us. You know, as Jesus said, I live by every word that proceeds, present tense, and that's continually proceeding from the mouth of my Father. You know, we want to live by the direction as we're led by the Spirit of God as we pray, Lord, should I do this? Lord, should it's a big decision. You know, Lord, show me your pathway. And we'll look at how the Lord leads us here in a moment. I want to look at one more thought with this this concept of the pathway, and we can expect things from behind. And let's look in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 10. And we're going to see the Apostle John. And now we realize that the Apostle John received some mighty revelations from the Lord. He received some mighty truths. But it starts out in Revelation 1 and verse 10. And I hadn't really thought about this before. I definitely never realized this concept we're looking at. But in Revelation 1 and verse 10, did I say 10:1 or 1:10? I said, well, okay, I can get that backwards sometimes. All right, Revelation 1 and verse 10. Now here he's talking about how he received his revelation. And it says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a great voice and as of a trumpet saying, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and last. And what you see, write in a book and send it to the seven churches that are in Asia. Now notice that here's John. It says he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Or he was, you could say that he was worshiping the Lord. He was seeking the Lord on Sunday. And it doesn't say he was in church doing it or he's in the congregation. He just says, and I imagine he was just on his own, kind of like Paul. He was on a rooftop just worshiping the Lord when he had that vision. I can just imagine John just out. He was on the island of Patmos probably as he was exiled and just maybe looking out the ocean, just worshiping the Lord. And he hears a voice behind him. Now, and there's something that we can understand from this is that, you see, he was in the pathway. He was walking in that pathway. He was in the Spirit of God. He was seeking the Spirit of God. He was, you know, maybe crying out to the Lord for the Lord to direct him and, you know, show him things for how, whatever his way was going. You know, I'm sure being exiled to an island helps your prayer life, right? So he was really crying out to the Lord. And it said he heard a voice behind him in his pathway. And the Lord met him. You know, so it's that concept, is that we want to make sure we're walking, we're in the pathway, we're moving, we're seeking the Lord. You know, because sometimes you're tempted to say, Lord, I want to meet with you, but I'm going to wait right here. Here I am, Lord. When you're ready to meet with me, you know, I'm waiting. But there's not that seeking. There's not that pressing in and saying, oh God, Lord, I need a touch from you. Lord, I need a word from you. I need a word of direction. You know, Lord, would you meet with me? So that like the Apostle John, like we're in the Spirit in that sense of seeking the Lord and crying out for him. And so we need to focus on that, to being in the pathway and walking along the pathway of righteousness. Now, I want to just look here for the rest of the message, I want to look at three other examples of someone being on the pathway and something is coming from behind them. And we talk about the Lord being behind us, but you know, he comes in many different forms. You know, to John, he was that word, and we're going to look at another example of that. But I wanted to look at just three other examples of that. And one is in Isaiah chapter 30, verse 21. And this is a very familiar verse. This verse just jumped out to me as soon as I was considering this thought. You know, because as John heard a voice, there's also a promise to us that if we walk in the pathway and are faithful, we'll hear a voice behind us. Isaiah 30, verse 21. And it says, "Thine eyes shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. And when you turn to the right hand, and when you turn to the left." And what a precious promise this is from the Lord. If, you know, when we can enter into this, you know, how many of us have been on a pathway and we're not sure of the way we should go? We have a major decision to make, and we realize, you know, if I make the wrong decision, this is going to have a big effect. And I don't want to do my own way. I don't want to go my own way, because there's consequences when we do that. And so we're crying out, "Lord, speak to me." But here's the promise. You'll hear a word behind you. You see, when we're walking in God's way, and we're seeking him, when we're obeying his voice, and we're being sensitive, saying, "Lord, would you cry out to me and meet with me?" We're in the Spirit as John. The promise is you'll hear a word behind you saying, "This is the way." You know, maybe we come to a fork in the road, and we could go to the right or the left, and we realize, "Lord, I need to hear your voice." Oh, his promise is he'll speak to us from behind. You know, as we're in the pathway, and he'll tell us, "Well, go to the right. That's the pathway of blessing. The left, you might get off on a tangent, but if you go to the right, that's where you'll find the blessing of God." And you know, the context of this verse actually is pretty interesting. It's actually given to Israel at a time when they were totally contrary. They're walking off the pathway of the Lord. And Isaiah is coming and crying out to them that they would remember the ways of God and walk there again. And the Lord gives them this promise. In fact, the chapter starts out in verse 1. It says, "Woe to the rebellious children." That's not a good message. You know, that's not a word of prophecy you want to give to people, because they probably won't like it. But yet, you know, they were not looking to the Lord. Instead, they were looking to Egypt, right? And that can speak to us today, as, you know, looking to other sources, the ways of the world for our answers or for our comfort or what have you. They were out of the pathway, but the Lord wanted to be gracious unto them. He actually said, "I want to be gracious unto you. I want to show my graciousness unto you," in verse 18. You know, he wanted to draw them back to his pathway, even though it might take, you know, as it said, a little bread of affliction and a little difficulty in cleansing their lives and so forth. But yet he desired to speak with them and to direct them in his way. And, you know, we often cite these two kings as comparisons. And, you know, Saul and David, because there's such a good comparison of the right way to do something and the wrong way to do something, right? I mean, David, you know, he was a man after God's own heart. He wasn't perfect, but was still a man after God's own heart, and he met with him on his pathway. But Saul, you know, we realize he chose a different pathway for his life, even though God wanted to confirm Saul as the king. Because of all those acts of disobedience and choosing a different, you know, when he should have gone right, he went left. And he didn't meet with the Lord in that. But do you remember at the end of his life? Do you remember what he was doing at the very end? Right? He faced his enemy. He was facing the Philistines. He was outnumbered. He was desperate to know what to do. And it says he inquired of the Lord, but he didn't hear anything. You see, he was looking for a voice behind him to say, "This is the way, walk ye in it. You know, here's the way of victory." Have you ever wondered, well, why didn't the Lord speak to him? Why couldn't he hear the voice of the Lord? It's because he was on the wrong pathway. You see, all those decisions he had made, He couldn't hear the voice behind him because the Lord wasn't there. The Lord wanted him to be over on the pathway of obedience, but he chose a different pathway. But you know, David had an ability to hear from the Lord as few people. Well, it's brought out in such a way. But you know, it was when he was fighting his battles, when he was preparing the temple to be built, even in being restored from his sins, he heard the voice of the Lord because he was always so willing. Even when he had to humble himself and walk through some difficulty, he was willing to just walk in obedience to the Lord so that he could hear that voice behind him directing him and guiding him in the way. And you know, the Lord wants to be that voice. And as it's also brought out, it's a still small voice. Sometimes we look for the earthquake and the fire. We want God to like just appear and speak audibly to us, you know, as in an earthquake. But it's the still small voice that's how he wants to direct us and speak to us from behind. Another thought here, this is also from Isaiah. Isaiah 58 in verse 8. Isaiah 58 and verse 8. And I'm going to read this from the ESV. I like how it brings this out. Isaiah 58 and verse 8. And it says, "Then shall your light break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring up speedily. Your righteousness shall go before you." And it says, "The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard." The glory of the Lord shall be guarding your rear, guarding behind you. And I thought that's very interesting. You know, you're on a pathway and you don't know where you're going, but the Lord says, "Don't worry, I'll be a protection for you from behind." And you know, that instantly reminds us of when Israel was leaving Egypt, right? And they were going into the great unknown, right? Even before them, they had the Red Sea, and they were wondering, "Lord, how are we going to get through this ocean of the Red Sea?" And then they saw what was coming behind them, right? They saw their past trying to get a grip on them and pull them back in. They saw the armies of Pharaoh coming to take them back to Egypt. But you know, when they obeyed the Lord and followed the commandments of Moses, we know what happened. We know that the Lord rose up as a pillar of fire and separated the Egyptians from the Israelites so that they couldn't be touched. You know, Egypt couldn't get to them, couldn't touch them. The Lord was being their rear guard because they were walking in the ways of the Lord. And, you know, sometimes when we're following the Lord, the enemy is following us, right? The enemy is after us to try and get us, to ensnare us. We know Satan's like the roaring lion, right? Trying to grab a hold of us, stalking us, trying to discourage us, you know, to get us to go out of the way. But the Lord is there, and he's our rear guard. He can protect us. He can keep us. You know, our old enemies want to defeat us. You know, sometimes we can struggle with the old ways, and when we say that, our old nature, right, that's in us, you know, wants to respond a certain way, but God wants us to respond a different way. But God says he'll be our rear guard and he'll protect us from that as we walk in the pathway. You know, King David made that determination that he would walk in the way of the Lord, and the Lord preserved him. And when his enemies came to try and catch him, the Lord blinded. You know, how many times did Saul, was he blinded to where David was, even when he was in the same cave? Or even when he was on one side of the mountain, Saul was on the other and he couldn't find him. The Lord was protecting him. But you know, Saul, it's interesting when you consider the end of his life. You know, it was actually his old enemy that got him in the end, the Philistines. Actually, when you read into it, it was actually one of his older enemies, the Moabites, the ones he was to destroy. Or, no, I'm sorry, not Moabite, the Ammonite, the one he was to destroy, and he disobeyed. And it was an Ammonite that got him in the end. You know, that, yeah, he didn't have that protection from behind that he would have. So, and that's why it is so important that we focus on, Lord, what is the way you have for me? That's our protection. That's our shield. That's where the enemy can't touch us, except what the Lord lets him do to teach us and train us and, you know, strengthen us as good soldiers. Give us a little fighting experience. But, you know, it's so safe in the pathway that God has for us. And, you know, each of us has our own pathway God has designed for us, specifically for us. And that if we'll walk in that, and when he speaks those little words to us, this is the way, and as we follow them, that's the way of safety and of protection. I want to look at just one last thought with this. And I'm looking back to King David here as he wrote Psalm 23. And this is one of the most beloved of Psalms, Psalm 23. And we could probably quote this by heart. But let's look at the last verse, verse 6. Psalm 23 and verse 6. And David says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I'll dwell in the house of the Lord. I'll dwell in the presence of the Lord forever. Isn't that an interesting thought? Surely goodness and mercy will follow me. You know, David knew the goodness and mercy of God because he was following the Lord, walking in the ways of God. And so that the goodness and mercy of God would follow him. And he experienced this in his life. You know, the Lord promised, even for preceding generations, the Lord said, you know, if they don't follow me, I'll correct them. I won't let them go their own way. You know, the Lord said he would preserve his lineage. The goodness and mercy of God rested upon David and his household. But we realize, you know, what he said earlier in his pathway, right, that it was not necessarily an easy pathway in David's life. Look at what it says in Psalm 23 and verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You've prepared a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over. Now we realize the pathway is not always easy, right? If it was, then everyone would walk on the pathway, and we wouldn't have this trouble. But of course, the challenge is that sometimes the pathway is difficult. You know, it says the valley of the shadow of death. You know, sometimes we go through experiences. You know, it's not that we die, but the shadow passes over us, and we have that concern, that worry. Lord, what's going to happen? You know, maybe the Lord hasn't even given us a clear word, and so we're just hoping in the Lord. Lord, are you going to preserve me? Are you going to preserve my way, my path before you? You know, David experienced sickness. You know, experienced times which, if he made the wrong decision, it would be over, right? But yet, in all of those things, they caused him to draw near to the Lord, to come unto the Lord, to seek his face and to meet with him. You know, those experiences built him up. They prepared a table. Even his rod and his staff. You know, has anyone ever told the Lord that? Lord, I love your rod. Lord, I love your correction. Right? When the Lord corrects us and, you know, is dealing with our lives. But, you know, David said that because he realized that when God was correcting him, he was not letting him go off the path to go his own way. You know, that is the mercy of God. If he let us go our own way, we'd be in real trouble. You know, there were a couple kids I knew growing up that basically their parents had no rules for them. They could do whatever they want. They could stay out as late as they wanted, you know. And I always used to say, man, why do I have to be inside by 8 o'clock? And, you know, why do I have to go to bed? And I can't do all these things. But, you know, as I look back now, I realize those kids were, what a horrible thing that their parents never corrected them, because now they had no opportunity to learn those lessons in life. And most of their lives, they suffered for it because they couldn't learn the right way to go. And what a blessing it was that we can have those boundaries placed on us by the Lord, that He doesn't let us go our own way. His rod and His staff, they comfort me, because He's going to lead me. He won't let me go astray. And that, you know, that's a comfort to us, that even though sometimes we need a little knock on the head, you know, say, okay, I am going the wrong way. Let's get back on the path. Or sometimes just a little nudge, say, back this way. But they're comfort to us. You know, King Saul again, you know, one of the saddest things I think about his life, it says in, you don't have to turn there, but in 2 Samuel 7 and verse 15, you know, it says, the Lord took away His mercy from King Saul. Goodness and mercy were not following King Saul. But we know why, don't we? He wasn't on the pathway. He wasn't following the Lord. And so those blessings could not follow him. Instead, he was experiencing Mount Ebal. The other things were following him, the wrong things. And they eventually caught up, you know, by the end. They caught up because of his pathway. But, you know, David, because he walked after the Lord, he always sought to hear the voice of the Lord. He allowed the Lord to correct him. He trusted the Lord even in the dark times. And because of that, the mercy of God, the goodness of God overtook him, overwhelmed him. You know, the blessings of the Lord always caught up to him eventually because he did what was right. And that's why it's so important. You know, sometimes we look at things or maybe little convictions or little, you know, leadings of the Lord or scripture, and we say, well, does it really matter if I do that thing? Or, you know, someone else is doing this and there's no problem with them. But we have to examine and consider what will catch up to us. You know, what will come behind us from it. Because when we do what's right in God's sight, the blessings of the Lord will eventually catch up to us. Most of the time in this life, but even if not in this life, we know that in the life to come, they will catch up. In fact, they'll be there for awaiting us. You know, Paul says when we follow the Lord and we do good works, we're laying up for us in store a great inheritance of the blessing of God waiting for us. In that sense, I guess it's ahead, but you know, we're looking behind here. Of what comes upon us as we're faithful to follow the Lord. And so this is something we want to take to heart. You know, let's make this our goal in life and just keep this concept before us. You know, sometimes we can be discouraged and say, you know, is it really worth it? I'm not seeing the results of this faithfulness. You know, while the wicked, they walk on the pathway and they're not seeing the results of their wickedness. What's with that? But we realize they're coming. They're coming. And if we're walking in the right way, the blessing of the Lord will catch up with us. It'll overtake us. It'll overwhelm us. We'll be overwhelmed. Eye has not seen and ear has not heard what God has prepared for those who love Him, who obey Him, who honor Him. I think the other, maybe you could apply that to the pathway of the wicked too, when they do their own way. But we want to walk in the pathway of the righteous. And, you know, let's make that our goal. Lord, lead me in Your pathway. Don't let me turn, you know, off in any direction or, you know, make wrong decisions. Lord, give me grace to walk where You're leading me and directing me. And then we can be assured that there will be a voice behind us saying, this is the way, walk You in it. And, you know, He'll be our rear guard. He'll be that pillar of fire protecting us from the roaring lion, and the goodness and mercy of God will follow us all the days of our lives, and will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Lord, we are so grateful, Lord, that You have ordained a pathway for each of our lives, Lord, and that, Lord, it's Your goodness and Your mercy that You desire, Lord, to be upon us and to follow us, that You want us to experience that. And Lord, we ask, Lord, that by Your grace You would lead us, Lord, even today. Cause us to hear Your voice. Lord, cause us to walk in Your way. Be our protection and our shield round about us, Lord, as we, Lord, make that determination to always follow You. And Lord, even as the days get darker, as we see, Lord, would You cause Your light to shine so brightly, Lord. Be a light to our feet and to our pathway, Lord, that we would walk in your way continually, we ask. And we thank you and we bless you in Jesus' precious name. Amen.